Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, where we empower female business owners to step boldly into the spotlight and claim the recognition they deserve. I'm your host, Tori Barker. I'm passionate about helping women like you transform your visibility into tangible business success. Each week on this show, we'll dive deep into game-changing strategies, share inspiring success stories from women who've mastered their visibility, and offer practical, actionable advice you can implement immediately. Whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, pivoting your business model, or ready to elevate your existing presence to new heights, you'll discover effective approaches to create exciting opportunities and expand your reach. So let's harness the power of strategic visibility and grow your business together. Welcome to the show. We are back on the show. Monica, I'm super excited to have you here. Obviously, as you know, our listeners don't know, we've been having our own side conversation, which is just going to lead into an amazing conversation for everyone else to listen to. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. We are going to talk about some money, finance, all of the things, female entrepreneurs, Wealth Academy stuff. So tell us a little bit about who you are, how you came from decades of traditional finance, and now you have been inspired to create Harmony Wealth Academy.
I started off life, professional life, doing economic research and realized I couldn't do it. If I'm crunching numbers and they don't mean anything to anyone, forget it. I have to see people, I have to be around people. It has to matter. And after having my kids and having a person who was an independent financial advisor do something that really helped us as a family, I was like, okay, I've worked with independent entrepreneurs. I like people mostly. And I like seeing people achieve their goals. It's fun. And it's fun seeing different things that people can do. And I realized that working, it was an opportunity to combine all of the skills and all the things I like. So I went into that. And what I realized is that financial advisors only really help people manage the money once they have it. And I've had a sort of a love-hate relationship with the industry. But several years ago, I was exposed to a program called Noom. And Noom is designed to help you heal your relationship with food and fitness in your body and help you. It uses cognitive psychology, positive psychology, positive psychology to help you shift your emotions around all that and allow you to achieve your goals and shift how you think about these things and then how you feel and how you act. So I thought, okay, I was in a point where I was watching a lot of people who had very high incomes and very well educated, especially sometimes even in finance and economics. And they were making decisions based on emotional reactions that weren't in their best interest and sometimes really blew up in their faces. I mean, really blew up in their faces. And I'd always seen this thing about the millionaire next door as an advisor, really even my first year. And because of that, I realized that the millionaire next door, that book written by Stanley, was dead on, dead on. When you see people who are middle class, who separately never earned more than $50,000, $55,000 a year, when they retire, have millions, with their house paid off and their estate planning done and their disabled daughter taken care of, and you see that, and then you see somebody with a very high income professional have a stroke in his late 40s, and all of a sudden he's dependent on the insurance in order to pay his bills, and he doesn't have much to show for what he's done. You realize it's not just the income. It's the mindset that changes what you do with the money. Yeah. And so when I started to really see some changes in the industry around about 2019, I realized that there had to be a shift because with AI, most people aren't going to get to see an advisor. They're not going to be able to find somebody to help them.
Very true.
So that was the inspiration. But yeah, so.
And I feel like we were talking a little bit on our own about this, but I feel like sometimes the perception of money and wealth and finance is stuff that we are working on from our past or from our childhood.
Yeah.
And And we've carried that unknowingly, most of the time, unknowingly into our adulthood and into our business, probably as well.
Oh yeah.
Talk a little bit about
Oh yeah,
that,
absolutely.
unravel that
So
that story.
I didn't really understand this until I started thinking about my mother as an example. She was born in 38. Her parents really suffered from the Great Depression. Without getting into all the gory details, there wasn't enough food in the house. So the parents divided the food and her brother got more than she did. For her to be able to have new school clothes and shoes, which were important to her, she had to get a job. She got her first job between second and third grade. I have no idea who hired her and how this worked, but she helped out within one of the schools in Shaker Heights, Ohio. And that's how she paid for her schools and her clothes and her school clothes and shoes. And so looking presentable was always a very big deal. If she saw me like this, she'd be appalled, by the way. We can just sort of say that. But I grew up with that. And then she married somebody and she thought things were okay and they got divorced. So I was six and a half. And I had inherited from my mother this need whenever I start something new or whenever I'm going out into something new or important, I wanted a new outfit and shoes. And I realized exactly where that came from. Okay. Did I need a new outfit and shoes? Maybe, maybe not. But that's
Yeah.
kind of how I was sort of comforting myself and preparing myself and making myself feel confident. So I use that as an example. We don't understand this, but it is something, since money is just a tool in our hands and we use it to provide for ourselves and to care for ourselves and the people we love, how we manage that tool is something that we've learned and absorbed those lessons and those values from birth onward.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
think about it this way. Did your family ever tell you you could start a business?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, there were my parents were both worked a job, a W-2 job or whatever you want to call it, and the only person in my family who had their own job was my aunt, and she was an entrepreneur. But
Okay.
other than that was the only person that I had seen or was around this concept of making your own wealth and being your own boss and starting your own company. And so for me, it was like, get a job, work hard,
Right.
get recognized for the hard work that you put in, and that's how you live your life.
Well, and that's the other thing. Like, one of the things people don't understand is yes, income is important. I want you to have income. Okay. And I
Yeah.
want you to be compensated for the brilliance that you have and what you bring to the world and the value you deliver. But income isn't wealth.
Very
Income is
true.
not wealth. You have to make a transition. Wealth is something that pays you regardless of whether or not you work for it. Okay. So once you have something that's paying you, that is a generator of wealth. Or that can pay you because it's accelerated. People talk, for example, in financial planning, they'll ask the question, do you consider the house to be an asset? No, your house is a use asset. It's the same thing. It's a large thing box that holds your washer and your dryer. Okay. You
Yeah,
need a
yeah.
roof over your head. And you need a roof over your head. So what happens is a lot of times people are like, oh, I'm gonna sell my house. Okay. And I'm gonna take my profit, I'm gonna take the gain, the appreciation. Great. Okay, but where are you going to live next?
Yeah.
Now, if you invest in real estate and other people are living in it and they're paying you rent, that's an investment.
Yeah, let's go a little bit further down that conversation, because I feel like that's something that's really interesting, especially for female entrepreneurs, is thinking about what you do in those different buckets, right? Like it's almost like you have to diversify, if you will, like something that's going to build you wealth, something that's going to bring in income, something that's going to do X, Y, and Z. Do you see that a lot? And do you talk
I
about
do. And one of, I do. And I talk about this. And so here's the thing that I say to business owners, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. There is a mindset of taking radical ownership of your money. Okay. And you have to do it on the personal side. But when you own a business, you have to also do it on the business side. And if you don't take care of the money and I in both sides, one will pull down the other. Okay, so let's start off with that. And there is a mindset to it. It's not necessarily what people think, but within the business, you have to keep it separate. You have to do that. And when you're in a business, okay, when you think about it, you looked at that microphone that you have and you said, all right, that's an investment. It's not a big investment, But it's an investment. You use it as a tool to make money. Okay. And that's the other thing with it. In our personal lives, we have to think about this. So, it's interesting when you have people say, well, my designer purse is an investment. Okay, tell me how it helps you make money.
Make money, yes.
Okay, there are some people for whom it really does. All right. But if you don't have that in your head, it's a lovely use asset. I don't, trust me, nice purses are really nice to have. Okay. And, but if you need it, for example, people used to complain when I was abroad many years ago. I used to work with these business owners that wanted to sell in the United States. They had whatever they had. And I would have to tell them, okay, the suit that you need to wear while you don't wear that back where you live at home, when you go into a business meeting in the US, that's like having your ticket punched to go into the movie theater. It's the price of admission. So sometimes there is a price of admission, but ultimately, if it's an investment, it has to be part of how it's going to generate money for you.
And how do you see people aligning their business, their profit, their wealth when it comes to owning a business and growing their business?
So that's the whole thing. When you first start with the company, it's very difficult when you start it because you have to invest in different things that are tools that you need. And I understand that. And some of that is a use asset. So you're growing the business, but you also have to, it's a conception where you're looking at this and saying, where am I in the business? How do I generate more revenue? How do I build this out? Okay. And how do I pay myself? And then when you pay yourself, especially after all the taxes and all of those things, you look at that, you say, okay, I need to prepare for my own retirement. How do I do that? And business owners need guidance on that because there are things they can do. And how do I make sure that I pay my bills on the personal side? So it's really a double challenge, and it's an area where I really believe that business owners, especially new business owners, can use the guidance. So my program does have add-ons for people who own their own businesses, especially on the retirement side and also on the management side. Okay. It's just, it takes time and effort that if you come at it with the right determination, like this is something I can do because it's just getting it done and there's less resistance. And if you trust that you can do it, it can get done. And that is one of the differentiators between some people who succeed and some who don't.
It was
So.
interesting when I first started my business, I didn't have business experience. I was the creator, the tactical, like I had the tactical experience. And so as I so resources, right? Like I would try to learn and pull from different resources and look exterior to other entrepreneurs, what they were doing. And I've learned so much along the way that I hadn't considered. And I know I'm not the only one. But when you first start out in business and you get that sale, right? Like you made $2,500 or whatever it is. At first you think, gosh, I've got $2,500, right? But then when you really like knowing now in business where I am, there's a percentage that goes here, a percentage that goes there and here and there. And so I didn't understand the concept of how to divide the money into where it needed to go. Like it just, because in corporate, you get a paycheck. That's your money and you get that money, right? But when you're in business, it's a whole other thought process. And then backing up from there, like when you're actually trying to get the sale, before you even tell somebody what the cost is, you have to already have that banked in, knowing where you have to allocate from the actual amount that you get. So it's a concept that I feel like so many entrepreneurs, especially in the newer entrepreneurs, that they have to learn this and they don't know it. They don't know what they don't know, right? So it's like I feel like having these conversations are so important because you need to help people who are those creatives, the tactical, engineers or whatever it might be, to know what to do with their money before they've even made the sale.
Speak for yourself, because here's the thing. It's not just the creatives who need the help, okay? few months ago, my accountant called me and said, Monica, I need you to pay attention to something. I'm like, oh no, what did I miss? He said, I need you to go through and look through your business account and tell me exactly all the different software packages you use and all the things you're using to build out your academy. You need to know what your cost structure is. You need to know what this is. And I went through it and I was appalled. I mean, I was flat out appalled. Like, I didn't realize I was spending this much money along the way. He said, what can you do to consolidate that? And how does this change your matrix? So yeah, we all go through it. And sometimes having that mirror in front of you is really
Tricky.
helpful, really
Yes.
helpful. So yeah, you're not the only one.
Oh, goodness.
Well, you think you're alone on this boat? No, we're all
No.
living. We're all works in progress. It's okay.
Well, okay, so this podcast is about visibility, and we're here talking about finances and money. But I wanted to ask you, do you feel like there is financial visibility, and how would you define what financial visibility is?
Okay, so here's the thing that I would tell people is one, the financially successful, the ones who achieve true financial independence, all right, who, in the way I look at this, let's stand back for a little bit. I love the physical fitness matrix. We went over this before, but the reason why I love it is because it works regardless of what area of your life or your essence you're talking about. So there's function. Does every part of your body work together? Is everything working well? And then there's health when it all works well together. And then there's fitness when it's able to carry the load. And then there's performance when it's able to do more than carry the load. So the way I would look at this is I would say that finance is the same thing. So you get to financial fitness when you can pay all your bills and you can fund all of your goals. And then if there's extra, great, you can fund more of your goals, you can make decisions there. Financial independence is when, whether you work or whether you don't, you can do whatever the heck you want to do with your life. So when you see people who are at the stage where they've hit fire at like 40, they're financially independent, they can retire early, whatever they do by choice. That's what that is. They have enough wealth underneath them, paying them enough that they can work or not if they choose. And one of the things that you'll find out about them is that they don't care about what you think about their money. It's none of your business. And most of the time, the people who have money are not the ones you think. They're not the ones who are flashy. They're not the ones who are flaunting it. They're just not. They have it, they're confident, and they're aware of how to manage it, and they know how to manage it. So one of the things that happens when they're visible is people want to work with them or to sell to them or to be, and they look and they're making a decision, and they're the ones who are in charge of that decision.
Yeah, interesting.
And they're the ones who set the tone for the relationship. So, what I would say is, look, when you have ownership of who you are and what you're using the money for and how you manage that relationship and you understand the system, you're visible to yourself. You're not trying to hit somebody else's standard. You're very much aware of what you're doing and you're in control. And you make no excuses to anybody.
Yeah. So from a tactical perspective, are there weekly, daily, monthly things that you can be doing from that perspective to get you to that point of financial visibility, control, confidence?
There's a lot of things, and we go through this in my program, but one of the first things that I'll say to people is take a look at your bank account. Okay, go online, look at your online account. Most of the banks in the US have a feature whereby you can flip a switch, you can toggle something, and it will show you by category where your money's going to. Okay, that's usually the clue. People used to say, oh, well, you sit down with them and you go through their bills and you go through their bank accounts and you figure out where it is. I'm like, people aren't going to do that. We all have the attention spans of ferrets. It's okay. It's actually more impactful because they can toggle the switch. And what I like to do with people is I say, okay, here are the different categories. Where by percentage do you think your money's going to? And then when you see the percentages, you can go, okay, what's the gap? Where are the areas where there's differences? What can you do to change this? And so when you do that, it helps. One of the things that I had a client say to me many years ago was he was making a lot of money, engineer, and he realized that he was not paying his bills on time, so his credit score went low, and he couldn't do what he wanted to do. So he made a commitment. He got up every day. And the first thing he did after he did the initial necessities was he logged onto his computer. The laptop was right near his bed. He sat down in front of that. He looked at his bank account and he looked at the automatic bill pay, which he had set up. And he knew what was going out, when it was going out, and that there was money in the account it was going out from. And he had that. And then he looked at his credit score. And so by doing that every single day, it brought to mind, I have financial goals, I have other things, and it stopped him from making decisions he didn't want to make. But he also knew that everything that had to go out went out. And he did that. That was his method of doing it. Now, do I think most people need to look at their account every day? No, I think that will drive you crazy. But to start out, it helps. It really does. I think one of the things you can do is create the ritual where every week you sit down. And I think business owners should do this, like on a Friday or on a Sunday evening, they need to sit down and look at their business accounts. What's coming in? What's going out? What's in the pipeline? Where's my money going on the business? How is everything going with the business? Is there anything that I've lost? I don't want to lose anything along the way. Have that reset every week, financially and otherwise, to make sure that you don't lose ground, okay? And that you're meeting your goals. Personally, you need to do that too. And if your money is commingled with somebody else, set up a ritual with it. And by that, what I mean is this may be stressful for the first few times that you do it, but or whenever it is stressful, set it up so that you know you're going to do X, which is fun beforehand. Sit down, you've got it already prepped to do that task. And then afterwards, you're going to do something that's fun. So you have that immediate reward for doing the work of looking at the money. So psychologists will tell us that it's not just rewarding the end result, it's rewarding the work that got us there and what that does to us and changes us. So in the program, one of the things we do in the mindset piece, and we do mindset a lot all the way along the way, is we talk about something called adversity quotient. And without getting too technical and in the weeds, what that is your ability to take on hard things. And
Love
so,
that.
there's science behind it and the dopamine, but the point is you take on the hard thing, you take on the small task, and as you build up your mind and your psychology, your mind is able to take on harder and harder tasks. So you reward not just the end result, but the work and the steps it took to get there. So yeah, it works that way. So
Love that. Love that. Well, I want to talk about one more topic before we wrap up, and that topic is around this generation of women and how we're redefining wealth, and when women have money, what impact it's going to make in the world. I've had lots of conversations and heard lots of people talking about, when women have money and wealth, they do certain things with it, and they think about money and business and life and giving back differently than men specifically do. Not good or bad, but just
different.
women, yeah, different. Women with wealth in this new generation, I think, is something that is going to be different, right? Because we are becoming more prominent business leaders and owners, and I think that that's going to shift a lot. So I'd love to hear
I
your
think the
insight.
efforts, and I'm sorry to interrupt. I think the efforts to help women get into the business world and get into the academic world have paid off. And now we're at the point where women under the age of 45 are more likely to earn more than their spouses. So that is a shift, and that's going to affect the family dynamic. I think we went overboard. I think it should just be based on interest and competency. And I think that we overcompensated, if that makes sense. I think that the question is going to be driven by a lot of different factors. Money's just a tool. It's just a tool. And I've seen some pretty hard-nosed, tough women, but I've also coached and advised women who were pretty determined. They had things they wanted to get done for themselves and for their children, and for their grandchildren, and they just knocked it out and got it done. But it always boils down to, do you have enough confidence in yourself and what you're looking at to be able to deal with the psychology of the people around you? And how does that affect your marriages? And how does that affect your relationships and wider and bridging out? So we're in change, we're in flux. It's a good thing. I'm not sure where it's going to go. I'm not sure. I see so many women walking down this path. Oh, I earn three times what my husband earns. Oh, I earn five times what my husband earns. Oh, I've built wealth and he has not, whatever it is. That changes the relationship dynamic. And if you want the relationships to be intact, then you have to find ways in confidence, in love, in compassion, in security to be able to work with that. And that's actually, it's a fun dynamic because if you can help people get to that confidence point where they understand and they can make shifts, it works. It keeps the families together. They used to say that money was one of the one things that would drive more divorces than others,
I've heard that.
which is awful because once you get divorced, everybody's socioeconomic status goes down. They have less money and they have to support two households. So it's sort of like, okay, help me with this. So anything that I can do to keep families intact, I'm happy to do.
Yes.
Good, healthy families. Time out. Let's keep it
Good,
like that.
healthy. Yes. Happy, healthy families.
Happy, healthy families. So, yeah.
So tell us how people can learn more about Harmony Wealth Academy.
Okay. There is my website, which is www.harmonywealthacademy.com. There's also my email, and I will give to you a link that if people are interested, there are different things that I will do. If they use the link or if they put in your name, they'll get a discount on different programs. So that's a kind of a
Thank
nice
you.
thing. I'm interested also to hear from the community at large what they're interested in, what concerns them, what issues out there do they feel they're not getting enough good stuff on, like how to actually conquer this. But yeah, so I'm doing some different things with this. So yeah, I'd be happy to have anybody. And I want the impact. I want the feedback.
Yeah,
So
that's amazing. And are you on LinkedIn? Can people connect with you on LinkedIn as well?
they can connect with me on LinkedIn. Because of what I do and where I am, I don't have a business account for social media and other places. I have to be very careful about that. But I am open to, if somebody has a question, they can reach out via LinkedIn, they can reach out via email. I'm happy to have a call with people. I'll also give you a Calendly link
Perfect.
that if somebody hears this and they want a consultation, they want to talk something over, we can go through it.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, you and I both know we could talk for hours on this.
Stop me. Stop me. I'm
Stop,
the problem.
we
It's not
have to
you.
stop at some point. But
Shut me up.
just thank you again for being a guest. I feel like, there's so much more to be said and conversations to be had over finance, wealth, women, business, psychology, mindset, all of these things. And so I just, we've got to keep talking about it and putting that thought and those ideas in the heads of the women who are listening and making them better for the conversations that we have.
The one thing that I want people to walk away from this conversation on is believing whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're probably right. So I want people to start believing in themselves. Okay, maybe I don't know how to do it yet, but I can learn. I can find a way to get it done. And once you start giving yourself permission to dream and then figure out how to make that real, you do it in one area of your life, it'll bleed through that process in all the areas of your life. Give yourself permission to succeed.
Love it. Thank you so much for being a guest. It's been
Thank you
amazing.
for having me.